Okay, Exodus 18, verse 1. Actually, we might have read this one. Oh, we already had that section on God is good, didn't we? Okay, well, we'll maybe repeat a few of them. Be a good reminder. Exodus 18. Genesis, Exodus. See, we have such a great life. It's just a matter of somehow raising our vision, trusting God, and rejoicing in all God's done for us. Exodus 18 and verse 9. Oh, I'm in Genesis 18. No wonder that doesn't look right. I get confused now and then. Exodus 18, 9. When he heard all about what Moses told him about how God had delivered them from the Egyptians, Jethro rejoiced for all the goodness which the Lord had done to Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. He rejoiced for all this great stuff God had done. Look at Psalm 146. It's a great psalm, but we'll just look at verse 5. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. People want to always find the best person. You know, if they're picking players for a team, they want to get the best players. If they're going to hire somebody to do a job for them, they want to get the guy with the best reviews. If they're going to eat and they're willing to spend the money, they want to get the restaurant that has the best Yelp review. Whatever they're doing, they want to get the best, and that's good. If, you know, you want to buy a gadget, look at the reviews and buy the gadget with the best value and the best reviews.
Sure.
Well, here we have the best help. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. That person's happy because he guys got the best help you could possibly have. So happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Proverbs 16:20. Proverbs 16:20. Here in Proverbs 16:20, he that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Anybody that trusts in the Lord is happy. Deuteronomy 16, flipping back here a little bit. Deuteronomy 16 and verse 13. Thou shalt observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days after that thou hast gathered in thy corn and thy wine. And thou shalt rejoice in thy feast, thou and thy son, thy daughter, thy manservant, thy maidservant, the Levite stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow that are within thy gates. 7 days shalt thou keep a solemn feast unto the Lord thy God in the place which the Lord shall choose. He's giving them directions about what they should do when they get back into the promised land. Because the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thine increase and in all the work of thine hands, therefore thou shalt surely rejoice. You're going to rejoice because the Lord is going to give you great increase. He's going to bless the works of your hands, so you rejoice. And that's what we should do. We trust God, God blesses us, and we should rejoice in it. Sometimes we get so wrapped up and worried about the next thing that we forget to stop and just rejoice and be thankful. It's much healthier to stop and rejoice in what God's done for us. Deuteronomy 26. Deuteronomy 26. Verse 1. It shall be when thou art come in unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and possessest it and dwellest therein, that thou shalt take of the first fruit of all the first of all the fruit of the earth which thou shalt bring of thy land that the Lord thy God giveth thee. Put it in a basket. And it talks all about this, you know, the offerings they make, and reminds them of how God got them out of Egypt and got them into the land that floweth with milk and honey. Then it summarizes it, verse 11, thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God hath given unto thee, and unto thine house, thou and the Levite and the stranger that is among you. Just rejoice in all the good stuff God has given you. 1 Chronicles 16. And verse 7. Then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Give thanks unto the Lord, verse 8. Call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Those that are seeking the Lord should rejoice. I mean, think of it. You may get all excited because you've been looking forward to going out and wandering through the Walmart in Honolulu looking for some gadget you've always wanted, and you finally saved up a few bucks and got a few hours free, and you're going to go get it. And you're all excited because, oh, I'm going to go get my gadget. You're rejoicing. And that can be fun. We all have that. And maybe it's not gadget. Maybe it's a new pair of shoes, or maybe it's a ticket to some place you want to go, or, you know, the best hamburger in all of Hawaii that you heard about, or something that you're all excited about, and you finally get to go get it. Well, it says, let those rejoice that seek the Lord. Just like people run out the door all excited to go get whatever it is. Well, we rejoice because we can go to God for help. We have a place to go for help. It's tough when you need something and there's no way to get it filled. You're like that widow woman in Zidon in Zarephath, who had just enough for a small snack and then was going to go sit under a tree and die. She wasn't rejoicing. Well, we have a place to go where we can always get help, which is why it says, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. 2 Chronicles 20. Remember I told you with Jehoshaphat how the three armies came after him? I think that's where the term jumping Jehoshaphat came up. He just was jumping. Perhaps. But here in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 27, after they had gone through and took 3 days carrying away all the jewels and gold from the dead bodies of the three armies that had killed each other without the Judeans even having to fight, it says here in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 27, then they returned every man of Judah and Jerusalem and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them to go to Jerusalem with what? Joy. For the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. Because of the great deliverance God had given them, he made them to rejoice over their enemies. Psalm 5, please. We can not only trust God, but we can rejoice in trusting God. We can rejoice when we seek the Lord. We can rejoice when we see the deliverance God brings his people. Psalm 5, verse 11, but let all those that put their trust in thee, what? Rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous with favor, wilt thou compass him as with a shield. Psalm 16. And verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. In God's presence is fullness of joy. And back then, most of them didn't have the Spirit of God. But we have God in Christ in us. So God's presence is within you. And there's fullness of joy in that. Psalm 43. Great stuff. And the thing I want you to take away from this class is those things that hit your heart. I've obviously told you a lot of stories about my life and about other people. We've read a boatload of records from the scriptures. But different things will hit your hearts than hit mine. And I don't expect you to think like me or be me. What I expect is for the scriptures to have a great effect on you. And for you to pick those things either that you saw in the scriptures or perhaps things that you thought of that I didn't even talk about. But somehow, either God working in your heart or just the way your brain associates things, you remembered other things. You remembered things God's done for you. Remember things God's done for other people you know. You thought of other scriptures. And then you walk away here from here with a new perspective on trusting God, a new vision for your life, a new perspective on rejoicing in everything God's given you. That's what matters. Don't do like it said in this section of Secret of Radiant Living part of the class, where you're comparing yourself against me or Daniel or anybody else. What matters is how God works in your life. What matters is that you trust God to help you with your challenges. And it's probably very different than my life, because you probably have challenges I don't, and I probably have some challenges you don't. And that doesn't matter. What matters is that God can take care of both of us, and that we look to God and trust Him for victory. So Psalm 43, verse 4, "Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God." Isn't that great? My exceeding joy. As you can see there in your notes page, the New Living Translation calls it the source of all my joy. God, the source of all my joy. The New International Version says, "God, my joy and my gladness." Literally, in Hebrew, it would translate, "the gladness of my joy." But I sort of like my exceeding joy. It's a nice translation. He's not just joy, he's joy in steroids. He's my exceeding joy. That's what God is. You know, a lot of things are fun. Like, I love ice cream. But, you know, it's gone in like 5 minutes. And if you don't eat it in 5 minutes, it melts all over you and makes a mess. So it's fun, but I wouldn't call it my exceeding joy. It's just 5 minutes of dairy bliss, or whatever else you want to call it. Maybe if I open an ice cream shop, I'll call it dairy bliss. I doubt I will. Okay. So God, my exceeding joy. Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15. And verse 35. Or verse 13. Proverbs 15, verse 13. "A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance," or cheerful face, cheerful appearance. "But by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken." So a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. If you have a merry heart, you look happy. Let's go to verse 14. "The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness." Verse 15. "All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast." You want to party all the time? Continual feast? Have a merry heart. Because then every day, every minute's a party. And the thing that gives you, the only thing that can give you a merry heart all the time is trusting God. If you have a merry heart on only sunny days, I would have had about 2 hours of bliss since I got here on Thursday. This has mostly been cloudy and rainy, but I don't care. I've had a great time. If you only have, I mean, you can go on and on. If you're only going to be happy if this happens, well, that doesn't happen all the time. If you're only going to be happy when this person's around, well, that person isn't going to be there all the time. You could go on and on about what isn't there all the time. But God's always there. So you get your trust in God, you raise your vision that He'll take care of you. Now you have a merry heart, and you have a continual feast. Life is one big party. Romans 5. We talked about that, rejoicing in hope of the glory of God. Romans 12, we talked about, my goodness, we talked about most of these, rejoicing in hope. Philippians 3, rejoice in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say what? Rejoice. And let's end here in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. I guess I built a little more review into this class than I planned. Either that or they're some of my favorite verses and they just keep showing up. Probably some of both. 1 Timothy 6, verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded. Don't think that because they got a little more money they can be haughty. Nor trust in uncertain riches. Riches are uncertain, they come and go, so they shouldn't be trusted in. But trust in what? The living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. So that's why we trust in the living God, because he giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Whatever it is you need, God will not just give you a tiny little nibble, a tiny little taste, he'll give it to you richly. Remember Jesus says in John 10:10 that Jesus Christ said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. That's what Jesus Christ has come to do. So to summarize, I encourage you to continue to read the scriptures, continue to pray, and as you read the word and pray, try to build a vision for your life that God will always be there for you. We love it when all the circumstances go our way. We should try to move towards that, but it's just not going to happen all the time. But just because the circumstances don't always go your way does not mean you're defeated. It is simply an opportunity to believe God and go for deliverance. Did circumstances all go Daniel's way? Not really. They passed a law specifically to get him killed. But he prayed and believed God and came out more victorious and more successful than before. So when you have a challenge in life, instead of looking at it as a defeat, pray that God will turn it into victory, that it will come out more success and more deliverance than before. Paul fell off his horse and was blinded on his way to persecute some Christians. But he ended up having a pretty good ministry serving God. Paul later on in his life disobeyed God and went to Jerusalem. Ended up getting set up by some very religious people in the fellowship. Ended up spending a couple years in jail. But it was during that time that he received the revelation and wrote the books of Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. And he continued to serve God and his people for years afterwards. So we all have challenges. Don't let challenges or difficulties define your life. Let your life be defined by God's deliverance and what you have in the new birth, and that you can trust God and rejoice in his goodness. Have that vision for your life. I don't look at today as being the end. I look at today as either the start of this journey, if you haven't started it yet, or just another stepping stone along the way, if this is something you've been doing. Keep building that vision of your life as a man or woman of God who God will support and God will help, and you'll have the greatest, most exciting, most victorious life ever, and a lot of fun along the way. So Heavenly Father, I thank you for these wonderful, wonderful saints, for how much they care for you, for how much they love you, for how much they desire to walk with you. May you bless them abundantly. May the weeks and months ahead in their lives be filled with richness, be filled with growth, be filled with rejoicing, be filled with trusting you and seeing things in your word they've never seen before, and seeing that they, each and every one of them, can walk with you in ways they never imagined. Thank you for the wonderful saints here, for the Murais, and the wonderful believers that work with them, leading this great fellowship. And may you bless them all abundantly. And if your son tarries, may we enjoy many, many more times together, looking into your word and enjoying sweet fellowship. I pray for every person here, for everything about their lives, their health, their strength, their livelihoods, their families, their loved ones, their desires, their dreams, their needs, their concerns, that in every single way you bring them great victory. Thank you for this and for the joy of believing you and walking with you every day. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. God bless you.